This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. This is the second episode in our series on depression, causes, treatment, and prevention. And we ask Allah Rabbil Alameen to make this a blessed effort and that many, many people find benefit in it. And may Allah Azza wa Jalla reward us for it. Ameen, Ya Rabbil Alameen. So today, inshaAllah, we're going to be focused on the treatment aspect of depression. And since depression is multi-causal, meaning it's caused by many factors, multi-dimensional, we need several models to be able to deal with it, inshaAllah. So we'll be talking about something like setting goals, being more religious, about dealing with trauma, loss, failure. So for that, inshaAllah, we're going to try to be as comprehensive as possible. And I hope for that reason, inshaAllah, that you're not going to find it overwhelming. If you do, I would ask you to simply just sit back and absorb what you can from this. And you don't need to know all of this. You don't need to do all of this. The only thing that you need to know, inshaAllah, is select from what I'm going to be talking about what benefits you, what is relevant to all of us, to you. Pick from that the keys to the solution, inshaAllah. So please don't feel overwhelmed. Just sit back, relax, and absorb what you can, and note the things that speak to you. That should be the focus, inshaAllah. And then you can replay this, inshaAllah, later for added benefit. For now, just sit back and relax, inshaAllah. Now, also as a side note, in terms of taking medicine, because we are talking about treatment. So if someone were to ask, taking antidepressants, is this something recommended or not? My opinion, and you can do your own research and ask the experts around you, but if you ask me about my opinion, I do not recommend them, especially as the go-to solution. As soon as you think or somebody tells you that you are depressed, you immediately resort to taking antidepressants. And the reason is that, first, they are not a permanent solution. Second, they have serious side effects, including suicidal thoughts. So you are trying to take or treat something by creating another problem. And it does interfere with your brain chemistry. And I'm not going to go into how pharmaceutical companies push these products and how many people are really over-medicated. I will leave that, inshallah, to a future series. But for now, focus on the fact that they are not a permanent solution. Whereas cognitive therapy, and I'll explain what that means, cognitive therapy is as effective as taking medication for treating mild to severe depression. So if cognitive therapy, which does not have side effects, is as effective, why resort to medication if you can do without it? And eventually, you will have to do without it if you want to live a normal life. So that's my thoughts on it. And as I said, you can do your own research, inshallah. But cognitive therapy, what does that mean? Right? It is changing how we think about something, about a situation, about our life. And as you change the way you think, you feel better about it. So how you look at a problem, how you analyze it, how you look at yourself, how you judge yourself and your actions. If you improve the way that you think, you improve your mood, and you can exit from depression. That is basically, in a nutshell, what cognitive therapy is. And in contrast to it, there is behavioral therapy, and that is practical steps, behavior. that you adjust and modify in order to improve your mood. So for instance, if we say, don't watch too much TV, don't be consumed by social media, exercise, meet friends, schedule beneficial activities, don't do this, but do that, that is behavior that affects your mood and also could help with depression. So inshallah, you will notice that our approach today will emphasize both cognitive, meaning how we think, how we process ideas in the world around us, but also behavior as well that can have an effect on changing our moods. So both of them complement each other. Now, let me begin by a story, and that is the story of Yunus, Prophet Yunus alayhi salam, because I want to use his story as a model, and I want you, inshallah, to keep it in mind as a model for whatever ails you, whatever you go through. Remember Prophet Yunus alayhi salam, and you see the benefit there of why Allah Azza wa Jalla told us that story. So you know the story of Prophet Yunus when he was swallowed by the whale, and he's now, and imagine with me, he's now in the belly of the whale, in the depths of the sea, complete and utter darkness. And there is no possible way that he can escape it. He can't escape the whale, and he cannot swim his way out of that sea. So there's only one who can help him. He's completely helpless. There's only one who can help him, and that is Allah Azza wa Jal. So that is a physical darkness. Now, someone who is depressed, if you remember what we said last week, someone who is depressed feels like as if they are trapped in darkness and they cannot escape. So there is like a parallel and a similarity between this story and the feeling that a depressed person may have. And how did Yunus alayhi salam escape from there? Is by repeating, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. Allah Azza wa Jalla inspired him to say this, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. There is no God except you. There's no one worthy of worship except you. Ya Allah, glory be to you. I was among the wrongdoers. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, فَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمِّ. See, we saved him from distress. We saved him from distress. That is physical and emotional, psychological distress. So even, right, ourselves, when we find ourselves in distress, this and similar words like that can save us. Yunus was in a physical hardship, but whether your hardship is physical or psychological and emotional, that distress, Allah Azza wa Jalla can save from it. So I want you to remember this image. I also want you to remember something about Prophet Yunus alayhi salam, is that when he came out from the belly of the whale, he was very frail and weak. And Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in the Quran, and there is a sunnah that Allah Azza wa Jal sent him food, so milk and yaqtin, the pumpkin family of food, so that he can eat and be nursed back to health. So someone who is suffering also from depression is also, as he is struggling with this and as he's trying to exit, or she's trying to exit from that state, they're also frail and weak and bruised and tired. So what I would want to recommend, inshallah, if it is you who's trying to medicate yourself through Islamic medication, the Quran and the Sunnah and beneficial knowledge, the way that you should treat yourself is with kindness. If you're trying to help somebody go through this, be kind. It doesn't mean that we don't try to push them or push ourselves towards what is beneficial, but it just depends on how you push. Push with kindness, right? And be gentle, right? So you can push, but push, as we said, with kindness and with love and with compassion. So both of these images, inshallah, I think are beneficial, and I want us to keep them in mind. So I want, inshallah, begin talking about treatment by focusing, inshallah, on the first thing, and the most important thing is a return to Allah Azza wa Jal. And that is so very important. I cannot overemphasize it. And that is a distinctive factor between Islamic therapy, or let's call it Islamic psychology, if you will, and secular psychology or secular therapy. That Allah Azza wa Jal is pivotal in treating our illness, whatever that illness might be, treating our hardship, whatever that thing might be. So I could be a person who was distant from Allah Azza wa Jal, or I could be a person who was close to Allah Azza wa Jal, and yet I got depressed. So if I was distant from Allah, right? And by distant, I mean that I wasn't praying, I was committing major sins, Allah Azza wa Jal is not part of my life, still Muslim, but not part of my life. The fact that I'm distant from Allah Azza wa Jal is the breeding ground, a fertile ground for depression and anxiety, because the shaitan has a space to roam. And for that, Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ. He says, the one who turns away from my remembrance will have a difficult life. And Allah Azza wa Jal says in another ayah in the Quran, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرِنَا أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنْ فَلَنُحْيَيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. If you do righteous deeds, whether you're male or female, and you are a mu'min, you will have a good life. Allah had promised that He will give you a good life. That is true in the hereafter, but it's also true as well here. So when we're distant from Allah, our life will be more depressed and more anxious. And don't say, and you hear that sometimes, don't say that, well, look at how the non-believers, right, or the kuffar, you know, are so happy compared to Muslims who are so miserable. That's really a simplistic way of looking at it. If you look at many kuffar, they do have a lot of problems. I mean, if you look at consumption of alcohol, if you look at pornography, if you look at gambling, if you look at excessive consumption of entertainment, plus all the medications that they're taking, all of these are signs of souls that are suffering. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal, you know, to guide them all to Islam and guide us as well, you know, to what pleases Him, so that we are not suffering. So it's a simplistic way when you look at it and say all the kuffar are having fun. You know, that fun has a price, and it takes a toll on their souls. So if I was a person who is distant from Allah Azza wa Jal and I got depressed, there's no escaping the fact that you need Allah Azza wa Jal to overcome this. If I were someone who is close to Allah, meaning I prayed, I read the Quran, I was trying to be good, yet I got depressed because of something that was happening in my life, it happened because you and I were overwhelmed by this thing that has happened to us. And it overwhelmed our iman. And so I need more proximity to Allah, to be closer to Him, so that my iman will be even stronger than that thing that overwhelmed me. So you lose somebody, let's say you lose a job or something happens, and you become depressed because of it, even though you were reading the Quran. It means that we need to do more to combat that thing that overwhelmed us. So in either case, we need Allah Azza wa Jal to treat depression. And it's a fact, and it's a reality, and it's really important. And I know that if you're struggling with this at this moment, or you know somebody who is, it may be hard to convince you and I that we need to get closer to Allah Azza wa Jal, because maybe you've decided that this is too much, this life is too much, nothing is going to work, I don't want to try anymore. So when you hear somebody telling you, we need to come back to Allah Azza wa Jal, that in itself seems like a lot of work. And maybe you've decided it's not going to work anyway. But the good thing about all of this is what? It doesn't demand much from you and me. Let's remember what Yunus alayhi salam said. What did he say? La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. You can just simply say this and keep repeating it. You can say it in Arabic, you can say it in English, you can say it in your own language so that you can relate to, but just say that. Or simply say, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. Nothing else. Just say that. And if you say to yourself, it's not going to work, or somebody tells you, if you suggest it, it's not going to work, ask yourself, are you confident and certain 100% that if you do this, that it's not going to work? Just objectively ask yourself, are you really confident that that thing is not going to work? And the answer is, cannot be. I'm not absolutely confident. I'm not 100%. Maybe I'll say, 90%. No, it's not going to work. But maybe there's a tiny possibility in the back of your head that I could try something and it could work, especially that I don't want to feel like this and I don't want to be that person who's depressed. Maybe this could work. So if it could work, even if you say it's just a 10% chance or a 5% chance, try it. What are you going to lose? Nothing at all. At best, it's going to work, and inshallah, your life will improve. At worst, you're not going to lose anything. So try it. But something as simple as saying astaghfirullah and repeating it, or la ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min, and repeating that will help bi'idhnillah azza wa jal. And as it could take Yunus alayhi salam from the belly of the whale, the depth of the sea, into safety, it could do something similar to you and me. So there's always hope, and we will be talking about hope, inshallah, Rabbil Alameen. Now, if you're a person who is suffering from depression, but you have the desire or the ability to do more than simply repeating istighfar, and istighfar, by the way, this is for everybody, it will be helpful. But if you could do more, I'll suggest more, inshallah, when we talk about prevention and maintenance. But for now, I'm going to stick to what I have recommended, the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal, and if you can add to it dua, and to keep asking Allah, you'll find that your mood will change, and you are basically asking Allah for help. Allah Azza wa Jal will never turn you down. So just believe in that. But let's continue, inshallah. I hope that you will find more benefit, inshallah, as we proceed. The other one also, the second stage, let's say, or the other treatment that we've been suggesting is decreased materialism, decreased attachment to this life. Why are we saying this? Because when you get depressed or anxious, this is the soul's reaction. It's crying out, it's suffering. Just like, you know how the body gets sick when you feed it something wrong, or we don't feed it, it becomes sick. Depression and anxiety are the soul's reaction that something is missing. And sometimes, or maybe even many times, the reason that this is happening to the soul is that it had become so attached to this world that as the world fluctuates, the soul suffers. So we don't want to become so attached to the world that we become machines, basically focused on consuming and producing, attaching our fortunes to the world around us. If I'm successful financially, then I'm successful as a person. I'm worthwhile as a person. Whereas if I'm not financially, I'm worth nothing and I am nothing. We don't want to become those type of people. So we need relief from that materialism and less attachment to it. We understand as Muslims, as human beings, that there are more important things in life than how much I earn, where I'm going to travel, the house that I live in, the car that I'm driving. We're feeding our bodies, but we fail to feed our souls. And you need to step back and say, enough. Enough of this. Enough of that fixation on matter, and let me focus on renewing my soul. And it can only happen when you give it time. And you need some time to do this. That's why decreased attachment and obsession with this life is really important for the health of your soul and for the health of your body. Because if your soul is not doing well, your body also is not doing well as well. So feeding both, as I said, and forgetting about comparisons. Forgetting about the fact that he has and she has and I don't. And that's why I feel miserable. That's again fixation over this life. No, Allah Azza wa Jal had given them what they need and gives you what you need. And if Allah were to switch it, what they have may be poison for you. And what you have could be poison for them. So you have your own path in life, and you have to understand this, that you and I, each one of us, we have our own path in life. And Allah will give you what you need, not more and not less. And if you feel that you need more from Allah Azza wa Jal, ask Allah Azza wa Jal, but escape that comparison where if they have something, it's going to make you miserable. And if you don't have something, that's going to make you miserable, right? So decreased materialism, and that does require focusing on Allah Azza wa Jal and asking Allah not to make this life our obsession. Take what you can from it, but make Allah Azza wa Jal or the hereafter, that there is something bigger and better. And the more that you'll feel, that the more that you focus on Allah Azza wa Jal and feed your soul, the better that you will feel. And the more distant you are from Allah Azza wa Jal, the worse that you will feel. The other thing also, inshallah, that it's kind of like the third treatment that we want to be talking about is loss of hope. Remember when we defined depression last time? I said that that's the defining feature of depression. And in fact, it's an outcome of a lot of things that causes depression, is that you start losing hope that things will ever improve, whatever the cause is. But the outcome is, I lose hope that this will ever improve. And that's what makes me depressed. And so, when you find yourself losing hope, you will need to have, and this is Islamic cognitive therapy before it was even called cognitive therapy, because it's there in Islam. You don't need to have fancy degrees, right, to understand this. It's really embedded in Islam. Even if you did not know this is called this and this is called that. But you need to have a mental conversation with yourself about that loss of hope. Or to have a conversation with a trusted person about this feeling. Why are you losing hope? Why have you decided that this thing cannot change? Now the question to ask ourselves is, can Allah Azza wa Jal change this? Now I'm not asking you, will Allah change it? Asking you, sit and ask yourself, can Allah change this? And if you objectively say yes, Allah can change it. The next question is, then there is a possibility for it to change if Allah can change it, right? And you deciding that it cannot change is simply your own conclusion, though you could be wrong, right? Even if it's the percentage of error is 5%, but you could be wrong. You could be wrong. So there's always the possibility that since Allah can change your situation, that Allah will change it. It may take time, but Allah can, right? Objectively. So why did you lose hope? If you look at the prophets of Allah, alayhimu salatu wassalam, no one was tested as much as the prophets of Allah. That's why Allah Azza wa Jal tells us their stories in the Quran. And we are told their stories in the Sunnah as well. So that you can recognize the suffering there. And you recognize how they've overcome it. And you recognize that there is always hope. And don't say, well, these were prophets of Allah. Of course this would happen to them. It's never going to happen to me. Why did Allah Azza wa Jal remind you that He is always there and show you examples of how He saved people, if He does not want you to believe that that also should be the case for you and me? Why would Allah share that with you? And I'll share with you, you know, the story of Prophet Ibrahim, alayhi salam. You know how many years he had prayed that Allah Azza wa Jalla will grant him a son. To the degree, right, that he got old, his wife got old, and then when the angels of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and it's recorded in the Quran, when the angels of Allah, they come and they tell him, you are going to get a son. He said, قَالَ أَبَشَّرْتُمُونِ عَلَىٰ أَمَّسَّنِيَ الْكِبَرُ فَبِمَ تُبَشِّرُونَ He said, are you delivering this news, good news to me after I am this old? What news are you bringing to me? It was difficult for him to process after such a long time that Allah is going to answer this dua when he is this old and his wife is that old. That is, in his mind, it's like almost impossible. So the angels tell him, قَالُوا بَشَّرْنَاكَ بِالْحَقِّ God says, we are telling you the truth. فَلَا تَكُمْ مِنَ الْقَانِطِينَ Don't be among those who despair. Then what does he say? عليه الصلاة والسلام, Prophet Ibrahim. قَالَ وَمَنْ يَقْنَطُ مِنْ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّهِ إِلَّا الضَّالُّونَ He says, who despairs of the mercy of his Rabb, who takes care of him, his Rabb, except the misguided? That statement is not just for Ibrahim. That utterance of Ibrahim is for everybody. قَالَ وَمَنْ يَقْنَطُ Who despairs of Allah's mercy? It is always there. Now, yeah, it may take time. Yeah, it may take patience and dua. Yes, Allah Azza wa Jal may not give you exactly the thing that you've asked for, but He can and will give other things as well. Probably better than the thing that you asked for. So why despair when there is a possibility that Allah could give the thing that you asked for, take you out of your situation, rescue you, or give you something better than what you've asked for? The other story, right, is the story of Prophet Ya'qub, alayhi salam, when he lost his son, Yusuf, alayhi salam. And you can imagine here, Ya'qub, and he's a prophet, doesn't know where Yusuf is. And many years pass, and he doesn't know what Yusuf is doing, what condition is he in. And he's sad, but he's patient, and he has hope. Then he loses his second son. You know the story, right? The younger son. He loses that as well. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَبِيَضَّتْ عَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْحُزْنِ فَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ He says his eyes had turned white out of sadness, out of excess. He cried so much. He lost his eyesight. And he is very distressed. Very distressed. So the prophets of Allah, even the prophets of Allah, they become sad. And they lose their loved ones. And he lost his eyesight because of it. Now, but did he lose hope? Because those are the stories that give you a ray of hope in the midst of darkness. Did he lose hope? So when he sent his kids, he says to his kids, go and seek Yusuf. تحسسوا بيوسف وأخي. Seek them, seek their news. Maybe you'll find them. And he says, وَلَا تَيْأَسُوا مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ Do not despair of Allah's rahmah. رَوْحُ اللَّهِ is Allah's mercy. لَا تَيْأَسُوا Never despair of Allah's mercy. إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْأَسُوا مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ Only the disbelievers despair of Allah's mercy. Why do they despair? Because they don't know Him. They do not know Allah. That's why they easily despair of Allah's mercy. He says, but those are only ones who should despair of Allah's mercy, but not you. You know Allah. You know Him better than this. And you know the rest of the story. So yeah, the prophets of Allah like got tested, but the important thing is when you get tested is that you don't lose hope. And since Allah is there and He can change any situation can change at any moment. It may take a day, it can may take a week, it could take a month. Allah knows best. But as Allah Azza wa Jal delays sometimes that relief, in fact, He delays it for a reason. But rest assured that there is always an end to suffering. And always think, subhanAllah, you know, that Allah Azza wa Jal had put this particular ordeal or hardship for you for a particular reason. There's wisdom behind it because you could increase your iman in ways or come closer to Allah in ways that would not be possible without it. Allah could take away so many of your sins that if you were to see that in replay, right? Like, you know, if imagine yourself, you know, in the day of judgment, and you're looking at a recording of what was happening to you, and how many sins you were losing, and how close you were coming to Allah, and how high you were elevated in Jannah. Because of it, you'll understand why this was happening, and you will say, yes, yes, I'm happy it happened, because now I can reap the fruits of that hardship. I'm happy it happened. So there's always a reason for why Allah Azza wa Jal, you know, introduces sometimes hardship into our lives. But if you have hope in Him, and if you trust Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, that hardship will soon go away. If you lose hope, that becomes the real calamity, because you're trapped and there's no way out. But if you have hope, you always have this energy that yes, this will change, this will end by the will of Allah Azza wa Jal, sooner bi idhnillah Azza wa Jal. And one of the things that will help you overcome that suffering is for you not to be so fixated or to not to be so focused on it so that it becomes greater than it is. Minimize the circle of suffering and look at the positive. How? So if you are afflicted with whatever at this moment, it could be something small, could be something big. But if you just sit and you look at it and you stare at it, look at it, and you stare it in the face and you keep looking at it, and you say, how miserable this thing is. How miserable am I that this thing has happened to me? Woe me. How difficult. How terrible. If that's what you do, that thing, even if it is small, grows into something great that you cannot even bear. Why? Because we had focused on it, and the circle of suffering has expanded. But if what you do is what? You try to distract yourself by looking at other things, being busy looking and dealing with other things, focusing on more positive things. That thing that seemed big will start shrinking because you're what? Focused on other things, other positive things. You're working on something else. And also that thing that seems so terrible, if you look at other positive things around it, yeah, Allah took, but Allah did not take everything. Yes, this thing is hard, but it could be harder. Yes, this thing is difficult, but there are other people who are experiencing much more than you are. They are in greater difficulty than you. That is, Allah Azza wa Jal was really merciful even in that particular hardship and affliction. When you look at the positive sides around it, that thing shrinks and it does not or is not as terrible as if you just sit and look at it and complain about it. So minimize that circle of suffering by what? Doing other things as well. Distract yourself. They say that one of the best things to overcome a problem is to help people with their problems. Because when you help another person with their problem, a couple of things happen. You notice that somebody else is suffering. You're not the only one who's suffering. Somebody else is suffering. And when you help them, you forget about your own problem. And when you help them, Allah helps you. That's the benefit of it. So minimize the circle of suffering. And the next one I want to deal with, the next treatment I want to address is dealing with loss and apparent failure. Loss, meaning I lost someone dear to me, and that is what is causing my depression. Or I tried something or several things and I failed. And those are difficult. Those are difficult. So let's deal with loss. Now, if we remember that no loss is permanent, that will ease our pain. It's difficult not to have that person around you, and you're so attached to them. But if you can just be patient and you can just keep it together, and if you just remind yourself that, yes, this is hard, but I will see them again, it will be easier. It won't be easy, but it will be easier. And as time passes, right, you'll be better able to cope with this, because you will forget a little bit, and you'll be stronger a little bit, and you will have a better grasp and perspective, because the shock, right, has worn off. The shock of that thing happening had worn off. A couple of incidents, you know, at the time, from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he lost his son Ibrahim. And the Sahaba saw him, and he was, you know, tearful, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said, "In al-ayna latadma." I mean, we are shedding tears. He says, "My eyes are shedding tears, and my heart is sad." وَإِنَّ الْقَلْبَ لَيَحْزَنُ وَلَا نَقُولُ إِلَّا مَا يُرْضِي الرَّبُّ. We'll not say anything but what pleases Allah. And we are saddened because you're going to leave us, Ya Ibrahim. So here you have the Prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal, who is filled with Iman, filled with Taqwa, and filled with wisdom, but also a human being at the same time, experiencing sadness because he had lost his son. And you could see his tears, even as a prophet of Allah who is very patient. But this does not contradict patience. But what he said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is what is really significant. I am feeling sad, but at the same time, I recognize that this is from Allah Azza wa Jal. Right? So it's okay to cry, and it's okay to express your sadness. But remember that this is not permanent. And you will see your loved ones again. So pray to Allah Azza wa Jal that you would see them again. Pray to Allah that both of you would be in Jannah, and wait for that meeting. Wait for that meeting, because it's not going to be long anyway. Few years and they will pass, and all of us will be in that state, right? When we will die and we will see the angels of Allah Azza wa Jal, and you will get to meet, if Allah Azza wa Jal wills, you'll get to meet your loved ones, right? If we're righteous, we will get to meet your loved ones. So that's what you pray for. The other incident that I'm saying, just, you know, keep it together in the beginning and be patient. And there are ways to be patient by remembering Allah Azza wa Jal, and, you know, standing next to the righteous and reading Quran. There are ways to be patient, but we don't have time to explore those. But the other incident is when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was passing by the graves, and he saw a woman next to a grave crying. And he told her, "Ittaqi Allah wasbiri." He says, "Have taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal and be patient." So apparently she wasn't just simply crying, it was excessive type of crying. She was telling him, "Be patient, have taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal," meaning this is what you're doing is excessive. So the woman did not know that it was the Prophet, did not recognize him. So she said, "Ilayka anni." She says, "Leave me alone. You've not been tested like I was. You don't have my pain. Go away from here." So the Prophet ﷺ left her and went to his home. So a person came to that woman and he said, "What did the Prophet ﷺ say to you?" She said, "Who?" He said, "That man was the Prophet ﷺ." She said, "I did not know him." So she got scared, because this is the way that she spoke to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was inappropriate. So she left and went to the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she said he didn't have any guard at his door. And she expected what, like a king or a royalty or somebody important who would always have a guard to allow people in or to protect. She said he didn't have anybody at the door, right, stopping people from going in. So she gave salam to him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she said, "O Prophet of Allah, I did not recognize you." He said, "Innama as-sabru 'inda as-sadmati al-ula." He says, "Patience is when you're first shocked, and when you're shocked at something happening, something bad happening, That is when you need to be most patient. Later on, things become easier. After a week or after two, no matter what the loss is, you cope with it. You get used to it, right? We lost so many dear people, so many dear things to us. After a year or so, you cope with it. But you just need to keep it together at that moment. Don't let it destroy you. Know that Allah Azza wa Jal is with you if you want Him, and that Allah Azza wa Jal will have you meet them again. So it's not such an incredible loss. It is a loss, but it's not just an incredible loss that it should destroy you. Failure. What is an apparent failure? I call it apparent failure, but because if we try something and we think that we failed, it immediately reflects on us that I am a failure because I failed in doing this. That's not true, by the way. Not true, because a lot of times there are other factors involved in why you did not get what you wanted to get. You did your best, you planned, you got ready, but you still did not get it. Is it just simply because of you? Or are there other powers that are greater than you that had stopped you from it? Basically, Allah Azza wa Jalla. So it's not only up to you whether you get this thing or not. Allah Azza wa Jalla sometimes redirects you. You got to understand this. It's not only about failure or about being lucky or unlucky. Some people will say, I am such an unlucky person. Whatever I do, it doesn't work. That means I'm a failure, unlucky. It's never going to work for me. Allah Azza wa Jal directs people in certain places, to certain places and ends, and not others. Why? Because this works for you, or this does not work for you. So your failure, that apparent failure, or that apparent success, is not only and solely based on you. There is another factor, and that is Allah Azza wa Jal. And there's a hadith from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that Allah Azza wa Jal, the meaning of which is that Allah protects His pious people from the dunya like you protect a sick person from food and drink that harms them. So you think to yourself, oh, I am not successful because, you know, it's me, I lack. Whereas we are not the outcome of our actions. We're bigger than that. And Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who is above all of this, directing what happens and what does not happen. So if there is a failure, it's only failure in perception. But Allah Azza wa Jal wants you to be here and doesn't want you to be there. So when bad things happen, we have to start looking at them. And maybe, I mean, while you're under pressure, struggling with a thing, maybe it's difficult to see it that way, I admit. But if we train ourselves beforehand, maybe we'll remember this when we are tested. That is, start looking at the tests of Allah or any hardship as actually mercy in disguise. Something good that is happening to you and me, but in a different way. Where Allah Azza wa Jalla is teaching, where Allah is protecting, where Allah is elevating, where Allah is cleansing, where Allah Azza wa Jalla is just simply teaching you things that could not be taught otherwise. So there's rahmah in it. And if you look at it, if you're open to the possibility that this difficulty has rahmah in it, you could see that rahmah, that mercy, if you're open to the possibility. If you're absolutely negative about it, you won't be able to see it because you've decided that everything there is negative. But if you believe that Allah is the all-merciful and what He sends is mercy, even a hardship will contain mercy in it. That conversation, if you have it in your head, that conversation, if you share it with someone who is depressed, will change their perspective over what's happening to them. And maybe will allow them to emerge from the darkness of depression by seeing that it's not all terrible and it's not all bleak and there is hope and there is something positive happening to me, but I have not seen it, have not realized it. But now I can see it. And remember we said to detach from this dunya somewhat. So losing this world is not such a terrible thing if you compare it to the hereafter. Yani the Prophet ﷺ, right, the thing that would really upset him, right, would be otherworldly matters, not the dunya. The dunya meaning somebody would ask him for the clothes on his back, he'd give that to them. Ask him for money, he will give it, and then he will be hungry. The dunya did not matter to him so much. So losing the world will devastate us if the world is everything to us. I lost a job. If that's everything, if that's the thing that defines me, then of course losing is devastating. But if I think of a job as something that I do, but it doesn't define me, and I can find something else, right? Then it's easier to switch, easier to forget, easier to overcome. So the world is not as important as we make it out to be. So losing it sometimes can be tolerated. If you say, Allah will give me something better than that in the hereafter, why are you so angry? Why are you so distressed? Why are you so sad? Allah will give you something better than all of this. And you'll be happy. Imagine, you will be happy that you lost it when you see the reward that Allah has for you over there. That is, and we have a hadith again, and these hadith, they may seem, when you read them, unrelated, but when you think about it, all of these things are related. There's a hadith, and it's authentic, that the healthy on the day of judgment will envy the sick because of how much reward the sick people will get. Now, right, if we are poor, we envy the wealthy. If we are sick, we envy the healthy. On the day of judgment, the healthy will envy the sick because of how much Allah is going to give them in return for their patience. Like that woman, right, that came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And again, gives you another very different perspective on illness. She came and she said, O Prophet of Allah, I suffer from seizures. Right? She collapses because of seizures. And also, right, because I don't control my movement, you know, I uncover. So the Prophet ﷺ gave her an option. He says, I can make dua for you and you'll be healed, or you be patient and you go to Jannah. Which one you want? She said, I'll be patient and go to Jannah. She made that choice. But then she said, but just make dua that I don't uncover while I'm suffering, while I'm sick. So he said, yes, he made dua. But he gave her the option. And she chose, let me continue to be sick, but I'll go to Jannah. I'll have that guarantee. So again, it's a different perspective. And again, right, we don't ask to be sick, to be tested. But if that happens, and you remember this hadith, it does change your attitude about why it happened and about you. Are you actually being punished? Are you actually being mistreated? Or is this really a gift that Allah Azza wa Jal is giving to you? Think about it, right? Last thing, inshallah, that we'll talk about, and it's not the final treatment, but it's that we're going to have to, inshallah, talk about treatment, continue talking about treatment, inshallah, the next week, in addition to prevention and maintenance. But the last thing, inshallah, I want to talk about, it's connected to failure, is fear of failure. So somebody decided that I'm a failure already, or somebody afraid of failing. So doesn't do anything and is depressed because of it or anxious because of it. So to treat that, remember that success comes from Allah Azza wa Jal. Yes, you do your best. You get ready, you prepare and all of this. But there is no guarantee that you will succeed. And you don't know if whether you're going to succeed or fail. Your success and your failure, in quotation, your success and your failure, as I said, is not really and only yours. Allah Azza wa Jal decides it. So you are not your failure. If there is a failure, You are not it. It does not define you. It just simply means that you failed in something, but you're not the failure. Why? Because we already had established Allah Azza wa Jal has decided that you're not going to succeed here. You could have hired 100 people to help you, 1,000 people to help you. You would not succeed in this thing. Is it because I and all of them are unqualified? No, because Allah did not want this to happen. Why, Ya Allah, and you know, I'm so depressed and so sad because of it? Because it was not good for you. Because Allah loves you and He stopped that from happening to you. When you think about it this way, that you've been saved, you're not going to be sad. But somebody else got it and I didn't get it. As we said, don't compare yourself to other people. What if Allah Azza wa Jal were to give that person that thing and that thing will take him to hellfire? Would you want it? That's the issue of trust. Do you trust Allah more or do you trust yourself? So when we become depressed, we are trusting ourselves more than Allah. If you trust Allah, He'll say, okay, Allah did not want it, bye-bye. Good riddance, I don't want it. If Allah did not want it for me, I don't want it for myself. Be gone. Ya Allah, you give me now what is good for me. I'll be happy with that. So don't be so attached to the dunya that it has to be this job and nothing else. This person to marry and no one else. This college and nothing else. Right? This career or nothing else. What I've perceived my life to be or nothing else. That's you trusting you. No, trust Allah Azza wa Jal, who said, it's not going to go your way. It's going to go a different way. Trust the way that Allah Azza wa Jal loves. So with fear of failure, first, you are not your failure. Okay? And even when you succeed, you did not succeed just because you're better than anybody else. You succeeded, Allah helped you. Okay? So you are not your failure. That's one. Second, if you try something and it doesn't work, and if you do, especially if you're doing this for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, even if it doesn't work, Allah rewards you for your effort. Even if it does not work, Allah rewards you for your effort. So how is that a failure? If you do it for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, to please Him, okay? And if you're afraid, I may fail, that's making you really anxious. Why don't you lean on Allah Azza wa Jal rather than yourself? Something that is fundamentally different. Again, the difference between Islamic therapy and secular therapy. In Islamic therapy, we say, trust Allah. Secular therapy, trust yourself. So we say, we don't trust ourselves. We say, trust Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah, when you trust Him, He gives you strength more than the strength that you have on your own. So He says, I'm afraid that I'm going to fail. He says, subhanAllah, and where is tawakkul? Trusting Allah. Where is tawakkul? I'm afraid I'm going to fail. With Allah next to you, you're going to fail? When you're trusting Allah Azza wa Jal and saying, Ya Allah, assist me, and you're going to fail? No. Ya Allah, help me. Lean on Allah. Trust Allah. Make dua. And then do your best and leave the rest to Allah Azza wa Jal. If it happens, it happened because of Allah. If it didn't happen, it happened because Allah took it away. You have removed yourself from the outcome. You did your best, but you remove yourself from the outcome. So it doesn't depress you. And it doesn't also make you arrogant, right? So I'm afraid. He says, don't be afraid. Allah is with you and Allah will determine the outcome, right? So I don't want this to be too long because I want it, inshallah, also not to be overwhelming and to be in kind of, you know, reasonable doses, inshallah, Rabbil Alameen. So next week, inshallah, same time, same day, we're going to continue talking about treatment, and I want to talk, inshallah, about negative thoughts. Where do they come from and how to deal with them, inshallah, Rabbil Alameen. Let me see, setting goals. And if you feel that your life is empty, why do you feel that your life is empty? And we're going to be treating that, inshallah. So we're going to give you a preview. inshallah. And then we talked about prevention and we talked about maintenance. So that will be the topic for next week, inshallah. Continue treatment and prevention and maintenance. And inshallah, Rabbil Alameen, remember that if you do have questions, send them. So on YouTube, after the video is published, in the comment section, publish your or write your questions, send them to the email that we've published last time, and I think we may be able to publish it today, or I'm going to try to remember. I don't remember it, actually, but if it's possible, it will be posted, inshallah, or Facebook. So Facebook, YouTube, and the email, but I don't remember the email at this moment. I'm sorry. So I hope, inshallah, that this was useful. And again, if I have questions from you guys, I'll try, inshallah, to answer them next week if we have time. If we don't have time, then what I'll do, inshallah, is dedicate a special session just for Q&A. Okay? طيب, barakallahu feekum. May Allah Azza wa Jal bless you. We ask Allah Rabbil Alameen, Arham al-Rahimeen, Ash-Shafi al-Mu'afi. Ya Allah, if there's anyone who is struggling with anything at this moment, physical, right, emotional, psychological, mental, whatever it is, we ask you, Ya Rabb al-Alameen, to take away that suffering from them. We ask you, Ya Rabb al-Alameen, to heal them completely. We ask you, Ya Rabb al-Alameen, to replace their sorrow, their anxiety, their sadness with happiness, Ya Rabb al-Alameen. We ask you, Ya Rabb al-Alameen, to heal us all, internally and externally, with the Quran, with the Sunnah of your Prophet, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to fill our hearts with your love. And your love of your Prophet and the love of the believers. Make Ya Allah, Ya Arham al-Rahmeen, the hereafter our biggest concern. And diminish in our hearts the love that we have for the dunya. Diminish in our heart the attachment that we have for the dunya. And make loss easier because of that for us. Make us, Ya Rabbil Alameen, of those who see the wisdom in whatever you decide. Who see the mercy in whatever hardship they encounter. And make us of those who return back to you whenever they are faced with hardship. Barakallahu feekum. May Allah Azza wa Jal bless you. May Allah Azza wa Jal heal us all. May Allah Rabbil Alameen make us among the elect who are saved from hellfire and are raised in ranks in Jannah. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. Barakallahu feekum. And again, we'll see you bi'idhnillah at the same time, same day, same hour, inshallah, next week. Barakallahu feekum. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. أستغفرك وأتوب إليك الحمد لله رب العالمين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.